mentioned, we have a number of visitors with us. I'm very happy that everyone's here safe and sound in your travels. Just ask us, we just sung a song, Faith is a Victory. It overcomes the world. And what would that faith be like if there were no gospel? Just for a moment. That's suggesting we had something that's so powerful that we can believe in, that we can overcome the world. And we as Christians now, we had used that. Ephesians 6, we'll find the armor of God. Every one of the things, the helmet of salvation, the sword of truth, all of that's called the gospel. We don't have to go to something else. We see the word of God, but the good news of salvation is the fact that that's what causes us to believe in whom? Christ. And because of his death and resurrection, that we can believe and overcome the world and have all this confidence. But if the gospel was never given, the message was never proclaimed, you wouldn't have faith, you wouldn't have victory. So I want us to see that the gospel is not just for somebody, it's for everybody. We all can have that faith. We all can use that and make it the armor, not only the faith of our hope for the salvation of our souls and the salvation from the grave in that one gospel message. I want us to realize it's for all. So we're busy this week in planning for our gospel meeting. We're meeting around the gospel because without it, we don't have any good news to share. We don't have anything that people need. And it's not just for individual people and not for others. It's for all. Jesus, before he left this earth, commissioned his apostles. He sent them, go ye into all the world. What are you supposed to be doing? And preach the gospel to the whole creation. To the whole creation. And so that's very broad. The whole world, to all the world, and to the whole creation, all creation. That's pretty broad. But notice how specific it gets in the next verse. He that believeth. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. So we go through the whole creation, proclaiming the gospel everywhere, and the whole creation, and then responding to that gospel. We just sung, I have faith. I'm a Christian. I'm in warfare. I'm a soldier. So remain strong. But I'm an individual that says, I haven't started that route yet. Why should I believe? Jesus died for you. And he was raised for your justification. We can put all things in there, but it ends up being, I've got to respond. The gospel is that proclamation that tells us about the grace of God. Grace of God says that's salvation. We're saved by unmerited favor. No, that's the means by which we can be saved. Without the gospel, we wouldn't have the message being proclaimed that we can know the grace of God. Grace of God is not salvation. It's the means to salvation. You're saved by grace through faith, not grace only. And we wouldn't have grace. We wouldn't have a reason for faith. But what the good news is, I'm speaking to this audience. I'm speaking to those who might tune in and see it later. I don't care who you are. See, you're a human being. The gospel is for you. And what we're doing, our work in the Lord will not be vain this week. If we keep on inviting, and everybody you invite, you know, a lot of times go door to door, and so I don't need that. I'm a Catholic. I've heard that a lot of times. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, especially you need this. You need to hear the truth of God. But denominationalism is around us. I don't need to hear that. But why wouldn't you want to hear that good news? Because it's what saves you. It's what strengthens you. And that's what we're going to be involved in doing. So I just want to look at it from the biblical standpoint, a few points on why it is indeed for all. How's that true? The gospel, first of all, is for all because it's a source from the creator of all. I mean, we're going back. We're not going to a local deity in Mesopotamia. We're not going to someone. We're talking about who created the heavens and the earth. And it wasn't man. It wasn't a local deity. It wasn't a Hindu deity. It's God, the eternal God, who created everything. So we open our Bibles and we say, well, how's the gospel connected with that? In Romans, the first chapter, in verse 1, here Paul is writing to the saints in Rome, and he speaks about this gospel. He said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Christ. It doesn't say that. It said the gospel of God. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. But it's a gospel of God. Does it involve Jesus Christ? Yes, look at verse 3 and 4. Concerning the Son, so it's the gospel of His Son as well. Gospel of God, here's the source, and here's the one it's highlighting. Concerning the Son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, born of the right tribe, and prophecy and so forth, of the flesh, but He's declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord. So it's the Son, it's the gospel of God. It can be the gospel of His Son, gospel of Jesus Christ, because of what? His resurrection. Only God could do that. We might bring somebody back to their attention when they faint. They may swoon and we can bring them back. But we can't bring that which is dead. You can't do that in plant life. He said, get a new plant. You can't do that in a physical life. We can't do that. As much as we love our loved ones, can't do that. God's fingerprint is all over this gospel. And He is not some local deity. He's not some guru giving you a way to live life. He is your creator. You're made in His image. And He's communicating to you, here is the good news, and it's for all people. And it's he said, I'll base it upon something that couldn't come from man. Man's not the source of all this. And He made it depend on the resurrection. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 15 that if Christ hath not been raised, we are in our sins. We are men most pitiable. We're objects of pity. And we have no hope of heaven. So how did He put it upon it? And you know what? Jesus not only was raised from the dead, which is a miracle, He was born with a miracle. He's born of a virgin. That didn't happen in our world. It's not something that this man could create. God's fingerprints is all over this, how He became flesh and blood. Yes, He was from the right tribe of David, and from His lineage, King David. But He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. That's who this Jesus Christ is. And no man can have, no man's been born of a virgin, and no man's been resurrected from the grave. But that's the foundation for the saving gospel of Christ. When Paul is preaching in Athens, they have so many gods. And they even had one that's named to dedicated to an unknown God. And so what does Paul do? He says, I know you're religious people. That means they're superstitious, and that's the idea of what that religious means. But he was, I recognize that. But here's one to an unknown God. I want to talk to you about that God. You don't know Him. So how does He express who He is? In Acts the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 24, it says, the God that made the world and all things therein, He's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is served by man's hands as though He needed anything. He Himself giveth to all life and breath and all things. He may made one of every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation. Kind of hard for us to live at the bottom of the ocean. But we can live on a peninsula. We can live on an island. We can take in the oxygen and we can live, but we have habitation, land. That's why land is valuable. But He made one of every nation go into all the world and preach the gospel all creation, all the nations. And he is the one that has given us life. And so he's not some local deity, but he's the one that created all nations into being. And everything that hath life comes from that source. He's the one that's offering you the gospel. It's based upon the resurrection from the dead, as we see in Romans 3 and 4. Let's see that application. In Acts the 17th chapter, verse 30 and 31, as he continues his sermon, realizing we are also his offspring, so it's not gold and silver you've been worshiping here. It's God who had life, gave you life, and he's getting to their minds and their consciences about the reality of what they've been worshiping and what the unknown God truly is. And he's trying to make it known. Then he says in verse 30, the times of ignorance therefore God overlooked. He's allowed men to go this route, but something's happened. Now he commendeth men that they should all everywhere, gospel is for all everywhere, to repent, insomuch as he appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, where he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. That's the assurance. Only God could do that. But notice he said, you're going to have to respond. I'm not only telling you about this one God, and you know what? You're made in his image, so you know you're gold and silver. That's not you. You know there's something about you that's not gold and silver. And he just drives it home. All men everywhere need to repent because there's a judgment day coming. There's a time when we are going to have to say, well, did you respond to the gospel? No, I didn't. I heard the good news and it was wonderful, but it wasn't for me. That's not true. All men everywhere must repent because judgment day is coming. And it can happen at any time. The goal is obedience to all nations. Romans 1 and verse 5, Paul speaks about this goal, about Jesus' resurrection, death and resurrection. And we pick up in verse 5, through whom we receive grace and apostleship. Paul's a minister of this gospel. Through grace, receive grace, the favor to preach the gospel, and apostleship unto obedience of faith among just a few of the nations. Maybe the Western nations. All nations. For his name's sake. He's Lord. He's raised from the dead. He's the one that is creator. He created all things. That's Jesus, the Word. By the Word, things came into existence. So this is just pointing the fact that it is a gospel for all, but it's coming from the creator of all. That would fall in. I've got something for all my creation. And everybody that has breath, they're human beings, they need to hear the gospel. And that becomes important. Secondly, the saving gospel is for all. And see how that now translates into how the gospel unfolded. What is interesting, it unfolded that here Jesus was to be a savior of his people. That was when he was born. Good news. He'll save his people from their sins. That was the Jewish people. They rejected him. But he was indeed born in a Jewish family. And he was one that was going to bring salvation to his people, the Jews. That was God, indeed God's plan. But it also included the Gentiles. So we see in Romans 1:16, when Paul writes this, notice this transition is happening for the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. So that means everybody. How do I need to respond and believe. To the Jew first, but now as he's writing this, also to the Greek or the Gentile nations. See, it's for all nations. That time you're either Jew or you were a Gentile, you were a Greek. And that's how the gospel is spreading at the very beginning. But we look at it in practice in Acts the 13th chapter. Notice how this unfolds because the apostles know this fact. And so it affects them when they're preaching in Echo Pisidia. He said, verse 44, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things which were spoken by Paul and blasphemed. And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. You Jews who are jealous now, all the crowds. Seeing ye thrust it from you. See, if you, how do you respond? It's important. You thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life because you're not coming to the only source of it. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee for a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the uttermost part of the earth. Gentiles are included all over the earth. And those who had their mind set or ordained unto eternal life, they believed. So the gospel is indeed being preached. It was preached in Acts 10 to the Gentiles for the first time. But there's how it spread. And we look at other passages. We've seen this in sermons before where we realize that the Jews going against the Lord, that was a way of opening up to the Gentiles. But the whole point was that the Jews would see that and realize that gospel's for me too. And they would be brought to salvation as well. But it's for Jew, and it's for Gentile, it's for all. It's God's will that all men be saved. I think Calvinism misses this, plain preaching and teaching. But 1 Timothy 2 chapter and verse 4, he would have all men to be saved, not just the elect. He would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You cannot be saved apart from knowledge of the truth. But you have to have that. For there is one God, and there's one mediator also between God and men, himself man, Christ took on flesh and blood. Who is he? Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be born in his own times. He gave himself a ransom for all. Ransom means I'm purchasing something on your behalf. I might be ransoming you from poverty, might be ransoming you for slavery, but I'm paying down a price in order to ransom you, not just save you, ransom you. You and I are in sin. And that's how God looks upon this as a ransom. So does everyone have a body? I just see bodies here. If you're a spirit, I can't see you. But everyone has a body. I mean, the gospel is for all. Because Paul says to those who were Christians, they need to understand they responded to the gospel. There's something to demand it of them. He says in verse 19, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God, and you're not your own? Yes, I am. Oh, man. No, not in this sense. You've been bought. You belong to somebody. For ye were bought with a price. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. The gospel is for all human beings that have a body. It's not for your dog, not for your cat, not for your parakeet. For those made in the image of God, we have sinned, fall short of the glory of God, and here is Jesus Christ, and there's not anyone that's in sin this very moment that Jesus didn't shed his blood to buy you out of that darkness, to buy you out of that slavery to sin. You could be forgiven that this very day. The gospel is indeed for you. Thirdly, the saving gospel is for all in walks of life. I mean, you don't find one message that would fit everybody. But when you open your Bibles and begin to see all walks of life, let's go through it real quickly. That you got the gospel all about the Jewish priests. Those would be the ones that are against Jesus. They're the ones that have put him to death. But after his resurrection, he's now in heaven. Apostles are now preaching. There were many of the priests that were obedient to the faith. They heard the gospel. They believed it. And they had an honest of heart says, you know, he's the one. He is indeed the Messiah. So Jewish priests, great number were obeying the gospel. You got a fellow who would practice magic. Simon the sorcerer, Acts the 8th chapter, and verse 9 and 13. He was one that heard the gospel, believed. He was had a problem with those miraculous gifts. He lacked that. He knew what he was doing was not that. But he knew that. He tried to buy that. He had the problem after he was believed and was baptized. But he became a Christian. He realized the difference in miracles and his own magic. I mean, there's a Jewish priest and a Simon the Sorcerer, magic. What about an overseer of the queen's treasury? He was a eunuch in Acts 8 chapter, verses 35 through 40. He's practicing his one God. He believed in one God. He's converted to the Jewish monotheism. And he's traveling from Ethiopia. But he is a eunuch serving the queen. And he is over her treasury. He's not doing magic. He's not in the synagogue with the priest. His walk of life is that taking care of the treasure. But he's out worshiping God and coming back. You know what? God cares for one soul. All the earth, he that believeth can be saved. I died for all mankind, but I'm also caring about one soul. And that day, the gospel was preached. Jesus was preached. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? They both went down the water and he baptized him. He went on his way rejoicing. And we'll find that Philip went on his way preaching, because he's got the gospel to preach. So you have that. You've got Cornelius. He's a Roman soldier. He's in the army. He oversees 100 men. In Acts the 10th chapter, verse 1, he had great character, but he still was lost in his sins. He still had to hear words whereby he could be saved. What was that? Well, the same gospel that'll save a Jewish priest will save a Roman soldier. Different walks of life, different interests in life or things they're concerned about. But here's something about their soul. And it came to the point when God from heaven brought the Holy Spirit upon them. They spoke in tongues. Miraculous event. That wasn't the idea that they're saved, because they received the Spirit from heaven. It said they commanded them to be baptized in water. What they knew from Acts the 11th chapter is the fact that the Gentiles have God opened up in them repentance unto life. They can now respond with repentance and their faith and being baptized. But here it was indeed a Roman soldier, the first Gentile saved by the gospel, Jewish priest saved by the gospel, Gentile saved by the gospel, all walks of life. What about women? There's Lydia. She's a seller of purple. She's a businesswoman. She's traveling through Asia Minor, all those places. Well, she's in Philippi at this time. And Paul, in his preaching, opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart to the preaching of the gospel. That's how powerful it is. When you invite someone to hear the gospel, and you can help, or you study with someone, that let that word open their hearts. And that becomes very important. But she was seller purple. That was a big item in that day. But she obeyed the gospel along with her family, along with her household. There was a jailer in Philippi. He's busy involved in looking after the prisoners. And we know the events that happened there. Earthquake came. You think the prisoners would run? They're all there. Don't hurt yourself, because he thought he was going to have to kill himself. Honorable thing to do. What must I do to be saved? Greatest question you could be asking today. What must I do to be saved? Well, if you're going to believe, you're going to have. But notice how he believed. He preached the word to him. He preached the word to him and his household. Because that's got to be proclaimed. But he was a jailer. He wasn't peddling purple. He wasn't in the synagogue. He wasn't practicing magic. He didn't have a job looking over the queen's treasury. All walks of life. Indeed, the gospel is indeed for all. There's Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue in Acts 18:8, is being singled out that he indeed was connected with the synagogue, ruler of it. He believes, and he was baptized along with all of the other Corinthians. And then the final one, just in our list, is Paul. He's a killer of Christians. He brought forth the death penalty to people. He threatened people. He persecuted people. And that was his job. That was his work as a Pharisee, to destroy Christians, because he thought he was honoring God. But what we know is the fact that he learned, as the Lord meets him on the road to Damascus, he's involved in just showing repentance because he couldn't eat and all those things. He was told to rise and be baptized, Acts 22:16, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We read the events in Acts 9, that's exactly what he did. But see, he had to respond to the gospel. The gospel is good news, but it won't save you until you respond to his grace that provides all of that through Jesus. And with repentance and faith in Christ. But he was involved in killing Christians. But you know why he's important? Because in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, we read that here he was, the chief of sinners. The chiefest of sinners. That's how he felt. I can be an ensample. I can be something that is etched for you, maybe more permanently in stone. Not just an example. It's an ensample. Tupos. Something that's struck down and permanent. I am the chiefest of sinners. If he can save me. And he did. And Paul's now preaching that gospel. He can save anybody. He can save you. And he can save me. Just look. What walk of life is it? What ethnicity is it? What cultural person is it that's in a different culture than we are? What is it that the gospel's not for them? Nobody. It's for everybody. You never know who you invite. You never know. You put in the hands of invitation and all the wonderful lessons that are going to be preached by Brother Galloway. You don't know. Will that be one that will open their heart to it and come hear it? The gospel's that important. It's for all. And we have an opportunity to spread that around. Then a final point is that this hope-filled gospel, that's what it is, will bear fruit in all the earth. You know, there's some plants that don't grow well here that they're northern. They like the north of different weather. And, you know, you plant those seeds, things are not going to go well. The seed of the gospel, you plant any place. And that becomes an encouraging thing, but it becomes something that is emphasized by God in Colossians, the first chapter and verse 5. Notice why I say it's hope-filled. Because in verse 5, because the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens. So in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Well, is that fantasy? Is that just tales? No, it's the truth. And it's come to you in the form of the gospel. That's the mechanism bringing you God's grace and how you can receive salvation. But it says in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now notice, which is come unto you, even as it is in all the world, bearing fruit and doing what? It's not only bearing fruit, but it is increasing as it doth in you also since the day you knew the grace of God in truth. They responded to that. But now they have hope. And that's a wonderful thing to have. And yet hope is not, well, better life here. No, not necessarily. But it's abundant life. But it's the sense of that spiritual life. We're going to leave this body, but the body is going to be raised. And we're going to be in a glorified state. That's the hope of heaven. That message takes us from our existence in the body to our dying unto eternity in heaven. And it's for everybody. For everybody. And it will bear fruit on earth, and it also will increase in doing that. But you know what? Jerry, if you just read a little bit later, you'll find out that it had already been preached in all of creation when Paul lived on this earth. Really? Colossians 1:23, and all your newer versions will have that. Like to every creature it's been preached. Maybe it gets that specific with some translations. But it says in here, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached. It didn't say which you heard was preached. He says, which ye heard, which was preached, where? In all creation under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, was made a minister. American Standard translates, you proclaim something, but it's in connection with creation, not to all creatures, like some of the modern translations. Some of them make it to all creation. To all. It's in all. In all creation. Is he saying that Paul, when his in his lifetime, he's sitting here, and now he's sitting in a jail in 62 A.D., is he involved in presenting that? Is he saying that all creation in his generation had already been preached to? Everybody? So we come along. If we're living that day, say, well, we don't have to spread that gospel. Notice what Paul says in Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse 20. Here was Paul, the way he operated. He did not go to a place that had already had the gospel preached to them. In Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 20, I make it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, that I might not build upon another man's foundation. But as written, they shall see to whom no tidings of him came, and they who have not heard shall understand. So here's the apostle Paul, and speaking about his plans now to be involved in going to preach the gospel, but he says, that's how I work. I don't go where the gospel's already been preached. So what does he say in verse 23 and 24? He says, I now have no more any place in these regions. And having these many years, a longing to come unto you, whensoever I go unto Spain, for I hope to see you in my journey, and to be brought out on my thitherward by you, but at first in some measure I shall have been satisfied with your company. I'm going through to you, and in order to preach the gospel. I thought the gospel was preached in all creation under heaven. It's preached to all creation. He had some folks in Spain he needed to talk to. And he was longing for that. And, he goes to jail. But there still were places in the world where the gospel wasn't preached. So what is Paul saying? I think he's saying the same thing that he brought out in Colossians 1, 5, and 6, that where the gospel is preached under heaven, you've heard the gospel here in Colossians 1, 23. And it's in the Greek, it's only two words. The proclamation. And it's not called a time thing has happened. It's a proclamation. And you've heard the proclamation. You've heard that. You know where it's fruitful? Everywhere under heaven, and which in connection with creation. That can be translated that way, but normally it's not. But that is not to all creations. It's in all creation. Just the idea of it has a definite article, the proclamation. It's the gospel. It can grow everywhere is the point. We just need to plant that seed. So this morning, as we gear up for next Sunday, look forward to that. We have an opportunity to invite your friends, your neighbors, your family, but to invite people who you don't know. It's the gospel's for all. And let them hear the good news of salvation. We ought to be able to realize it's for all, because the God who created everything has given forth this gospel. He's not a local deity. He's the universe. He brought the universe into existence. He's given you the gospel. It's called the gospel of God, gospel of Christ, his son. Death and resurrection is all involved in that. It's for all human beings. It's for all human beings. We talked about a body. I'm going to ask you, do you have a conscience? And you do. I have never had a pet that had a conscience. Oh, they express shame. But I don't think they knew that. They didn't do it. They just got in trouble. They didn't have any shame for what they did. I had a little Pekingese called Suki Boy. And he was a special little dog to me because my dad brought him back from Wyoming and they shipped him in a big old crate on an airplane. And we went to the airport to get him. We couldn't find him. He was in the sawdust. He's just a little bitty thing. And he was great, but I saw him one day get run over by a milk truck. And that just broke my heart. And I've been warning him, because I've talked to him, and what he would do when he gets in trouble, he would go behind the refrigerator and pout. But he didn't think he's disobeying me. He just he felt ashamed. But I felt bad. I loved that little dog. But Jesus didn't die for him. He's an animal. You're not. You're a human being. And Hebrews 9, chapter and verse 14, Jesus shed his blood to cleanse you from your conscience, from the guilt of sin. And we all have that. We know when we've done that which is wrong because we have a moral compass that says this is the right thing to do, and I didn't do that. And we lie, we cheat. We don't treat others so we have that they ought to have to be treated. We know we should have done better. We lose our temper, all those things. We realize that's not right. And you have a conscience that tells you that. Nothing else can cleanse the conscience of a human being. Hebrews 9:14, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it under the old law. But his blood can cleanse you from the guilt of your conscience and establish you in a right relationship with him. We're not perfect, but I've got a body to glorify God in, and I'm going to abstain from fornication, and I've got a conscience that's cleansed. And it all came from one God who created me and his son, Jesus Christ. It's for all human beings. So you don't have to give one to the puppy. You need to give one to the owner. For all walks of life, we've seen that. Just think about whatever field you're in, somebody needs to hear the gospel. In your office, who you come in contact with, they come from all parts of life. Different cultures, different ethnicity. And you know what? You'll always bear fruit under heaven where the seed is planted in all creation. The gospel must be that which is proclaimed. It's the proclamation that gets out there in order to save their souls. So let's be busy in the vineyard. Let's be busy in the kingdom of God of biting people. That's what we'll be doing. They'll be able to hear that gospel. Maybe we'll have someone that wants to study with us in the process. So if you're not a Christian, if you haven't come to Christ, you're still out here in the darkness of the world, still in your sins, because the only thing that can do that is the blood of Christ. As we sing this song, you don't have to get better in order to be saved. Just come as you are, just as I am. Respond to the gospel as we stand and sing.